welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and we are very excited today to welcome one of our guests. It is a local, and we do love our Syosset community, so please tell everybody who you are and what has brought you here.
Sure. So, hi, my name is Ellie Kagan, and I'm here because I wrote a book called Dyslexia and Self-Esteem, and essentially, it highlights my sister's experience with dyslexia, like how she faced it in school. And then also I did some research, I read books, and then I kind of provided some advice for parents and teachers on how they could approach perhaps their dyslexic students and children in the future.
So when was your sister, when did they officially diagnose her with dyslexia? Because that was something that I thought was interesting.
Yeah, so she got officially diagnosed when she was around 9 years old, I think. So somewhere around last year, because she's turning 10. But this wasn't something that happened in school. It was by professionals that my mom found.
I mean, that's crazy. And one of the things I also thought was interesting was, you mentioned that you wanted her to read with you. And that wasn't necessarily something she was comfortable with. What is the age difference between you and your sister?
So we're 7.5 years apart.
As somebody who has a brother who is 9.5 years younger than her, I totally understand what that's like, having a sibling who you're almost partially raising because you've been through things. So, more recently than parents, but also you're older than them. So they look to you an authoritative way. So as an older sibling, what were some of the things that you were noticing for your sister?
Yeah, so I think a lot of the signs were, she had a lot of trouble. Like, she was reading really slowly. She was tripping over a lot of her words. She would be skipping words sometimes. She wouldn't be able to actually derive the meaning of what she was reading. But also, I noticed that she really hated the idea of not only reading, but also like doing any type of homework or studying, even if it were math. Like, she just didn't like school, basically. And I don't think it was because she didn't want to learn. I just think that she became really discouraged every time she tried to read, or she did try to learn. She kind of, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So that's interesting, because I think it's very easy for people to write that off initially as, oh, well, what kid that age does like school? Nobody likes homework. Well, you want her to be doing cartwheels for homework? That's normal. Was there a lot of resistance when your family was trying to find out exactly what was going on with her?
Yeah, honestly, there definitely was. And do you mean resistance in terms of like the people at school or with her?
More like the people who could have recognized that this was a problem earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, my mom, I remember we started noticing things when she was starting to learn to read. So I'm going to assume around 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And we brought this up. My mom brought this up to the school multiple times. And they even said they administered tests on her, but she came back fine. And that she would catch up with time. Eventually it would be okay. This is just something that happens. It's normal. You don't need to worry about it. So that's why we kind of didn't do anything until later on, where we were finally realizing, okay, there definitely is something wrong. It's not normal.
So some of the research you did about dyslexia and also self-esteem, tell us a little bit about that and what you were hoping to start a conversation about with your book.
Yeah, so basically what I wanted to do was I kind of wanted to get out the message that I think that schools and just teachers and parents and everybody in general should really be more aware about learning disabilities and how to approach them. And even in the classroom, obviously I understand it can be hard to cater to one child, but sometimes there are small things that a teacher can do just to make that kid feel more comfortable. And it doesn't have to be, they don't have to make sacrifices, you know, at the expense of the rest of the kids. Or, you know, what, or just, like, there's so many things, but just kind of making the classroom more friendly and adaptable to everybody's way of learning. Because honestly, even for kids that don't have learning disabilities, like, I think that everybody can learn, everybody learns in a different way. And so I think that the way that, you know, people are expected to learn in school can be easy for some and difficult for others. And for the self-esteem aspect, I really wanted to highlight that because I feel like whenever you think of dyslexia or a learning disability, you think, okay, they just struggle in school, that's the end of it. But I think coming to terms with the fact that you are, you know, different is really hard. Like when I did my research, I found out that dyslexics usually have a normal IQ. So they're fully aware of the fact that they do have a learning disability. And that's why I think it's even more painful for them.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think like a lot of people also, you know, it's one of those things where people think they know what it is. There's just this very clear, I guess, I don't want to say stereotype, but it's like, oh, you're dyslexic, you see things backwards, or, you know, it's this, it's always going to look like this, but maybe it's not as cut and dry as that when you're not only diagnosing it, but also working with somebody who has it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a common misconception I had coming into this. I just thought, oh, you know, you just mix up your B's and D's and P's, but it's really so much more than that. Essentially, it's just you're kind of unable to decode letters, right? So, you know, there's a certain word and you kind of can't put together the letters and form it into something. And it, this can come in so many ways. Like a lot of dyslexics have trouble with visually. So like reading, like I mentioned before, there's even auditory dyslexia where you might have trouble processing things that are said to you or issues with speech. I mean, it really, really highly varies. But I think it's important to understand that these kids, it's not just about mixing up the order of letters. It's just overall being able to understand the letters that they're reading and just the content of it overall.
Yeah, I hear you. There's so many things I think like that. I mean, and OCD comes to mind because everybody thinks OCD just means, oh, you're super clean and you're obsessive about cleaning, but it's really not always that. So I think, you know, we really need to be aware of the expansiveness of a diagnosis like dyslexia, for instance. And I know there, you know, there are several people who have expressed, several famous people who have expressed self-esteem issues as a child because they were dyslexic and clearly things just weren't working for them. The system, I don't want to say 100% the system failed them, but the system wasn't really willing to understand what was going on in order to serve them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. I still feel like even though my sister receives a lot of special help, it almost contributes to like her self-esteem in a worse way just because she's kind of ostracized from the rest of her students. And my sister recalled an experience where she said that one of her teachers last year played a song about decoding for kindergartners in front of the whole class, and she just said she felt so embarrassed because maybe she was receiving this special help, but it was kind of made clear to the entire class that like she needed it and she doesn't want that. She even tells me frequently that she doesn't want anybody to know that she has it. Even when I was writing the book, she's like, don't mention my name. I was like, I won't. Because she doesn't want people to, she says, baby her or treat her differently.
Right.
And I think this is common among lots of dyslexics.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So with all of this, do you see yourself wanting to go into a field to help people in this situation?
Yeah, actually, I think because of this, I was prompted to study more about the brain and kind of neuroscience. I'm actually doing an independent study at school with my teacher, regarding neuroscience, which I'm really excited about. But I think so. I think I specifically would want to focus on a lot of mental disorders like anxiety, depression, things like that. I've been highly considering becoming a psychiatrist or at least something in the healthcare field. It doesn't even have to be that. But I know that, speech pathology and things like that are also options. So I think that I definitely would consider something like that.
I think that that's wonderful. And we hope to hear more from you about all of this. So, if there's one takeaway from your book, what do you hope that readers will glean?
I really just hope that readers will be able to see that dyslexic people are not, dyslexia is not this foreign concept, that these people are just like us. They aren't any less smart. They are just struggling and they need a different approach to learning, and that they are fully capable of achieving whatever it is that they put their mind to. Like I said before, they just need a little bit of help and a little bit of a different way, but they're fully capable.
Thank you so much, Ellie. Once again, this was Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and we are going to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.